have your Bibles, I'd like for you to keep your finger in Luke 19 and turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. Those two passages where we'll be looking today. If I could take you back to the beginning. The Lord Jesus spoke, put the stars in their place. I'm reading a book right now on evolution and the theory. And I realize there are a lot of people that are scientists that believe that Darwin's theory is correct. The only problem is there's no proof. And the book I'm reading is from a scientist that looked at it reasonably and said, you know, I don't see the proof to back it up. And as you read all the different stories of different scientists, you find that they come to a conclusion. There is no missing link. There is no animal that's crossed between the kinds. And so evolution could not possibly happen without that. So the book is a great book, and I'm really enjoying it. But I'm reminded that when God, every man's got to come to the point of who put us here. Did we happen at the Big Bang and it just so happened that all of a sudden an explosion happened and there happened to be the right chemicals that the amoeba started, and then we grew from amoeba to this, to this, to this, to this, to this, and finally here's man over a period of billions of years. And if you look in your science books, it goes from 5 billion to 50 billion to 60 billion. They don't know. And they're clueless. So the more time they put on it, the better chance it happens. It's sort of like taking all the watches, all the parts of a watch, and putting them with a hand grenade and blowing it up, and it all falling into one watch. Can you imagine that? There's a better chance of that happening than evolution happening at the beginning. So let's take just a minute. Let's just presume that God's word is true. That God put the stars in their place, named them, put the sun and the moon in its place and made this world and said, you know, I want to have someone that I can befriend. I want to walk with someone. And so God made Adam. And he said, you know, Adam is lonely, and I'm going to make Eve, and I'm going to walk together with him. And does anybody know what God's favorite thing was to do, according to Scripture, was he walked with them in the cool of the evening. Friends. They would talk, converse, and God loved that. It was why he made man, fellowship with God. And that's why he made you and I. So you may say today, well, you know, I don't know what my goal and role in life is. I want to tell you something. God made you that you could talk with him and be his friend, and he could be your friend. God made us to be friends. And then Adam and Eve decided they would disobey the Lord. He gave them one command not to do, and they broke it. And at that point in time, there was a separation between them and God. And God said, I'm sorry, but we cannot be the same kind of friends we were. But I want you to understand this, that God loves everybody in this room, and God, because of his great love for us, had to do some things to restore us to a position of friendship. Now, I want you to know this. In order for most of the time, friends, the word friend, the Greek text, is the word phile, which is fondness. It is a gentle love or care. So if you have a friend, it's somebody you care about, someone you care a lot about. And the more friendship you have with that person, the deeper your love grows. The problem is, very few of us have a friendship with God. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to speak to you about being a friend of God. Do you understand? Now, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. And I want you to notice this passage. You might want to underline some of these words around friend. Notice, if you would, excuse me, verse 12. This is the command, my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, in order to have a friend, there's usually some reciprocation. You know, if I'm going to be a friend of Joseph here, usually Joseph would talk to me. And we kind of have some commonality in our directions. And so we become friends because of our direction. Well, the Lord Jesus has got nobody going in his direction. The Bible says we're all sinners and we've all gone our own way in Romans chapter 3. And there's no one that follows the way of the Lord. And do you remember the flood? Why God had to destroy the flood? Because there were only 8 people that wanted to do the right in the whole world. So man's tendency is to go his own way and leave God behind. We're not the friend of God. But I want you to notice what the next verse says in John chapter 15. Notice this, verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do what I command you. In other words, if you follow my direction, he said, then we're going to be friends because I want us to walk together. Now notice with me if you would, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants. I don't call you as someone that serves me. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now notice verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know what he said? I've chosen you. I want us to be friends. Do you understand that God has chosen you to be his friend today? Now, what does that mean? Well, number one, we've all chosen our own direction. So he said in that passage, he had to die for his friends. God realized that all of us in this room were going our own way. And the Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So we can't get to heaven by ourselves. But God loved us. And he says, I want to make a way for you to get to heaven so we can be friends together. And so understand, I love you. This friendship is not two way. But that's why God made us. Do you see how we've sort of lost our purpose in life? God made us for the purpose of friendship and fellowship. He made you so that you could walk and talk and worship and fellowship with him. But the old devil has got us all sidetracked. We're worried about cell phones and cars and jobs and degrees and all the different things of this life. And we sort of leave God out. And yet God says, but I've chosen you. And so he constantly comes up and tries to be our friend. Hey, can we be friends? I'm busy. Can we be friends? I'm busy. I got things to do. He says, look, you can't get to heaven on your own. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He said, you can't get to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, I know you. He said, I want to be friends with you, but I know you. He said, if you get to heaven because of your good works, you're going to brag about it, walk around heaven. He says, that wouldn't work. So he says, I'm going to take care of it for you. That's why the cross is so precious. Without anybody asking him, except the Father. He went, lived, born in that manger, lived the perfect life that you and I could not live, and died for us. He said, a man dies for his friends. Verse number 14 in that passage, you'll notice he said very clearly, you know, I want to die for you. I want to provide for you a gift in heaven, a home in heaven, but you can't get it yourself. He said, and I know that. And listen to this verse. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Not a wife or a husband, but a friend. Do you understand that Jesus counts you as his friend if you just follow him? Now, you can't be friends long unless you both go the same direction. You understand that? You cannot be friends with anybody for very long unless you're going the same direction. Now, I've got some friends, Dr. Gleiser. There are times whenever you're going to have to rely upon your friends. You're going to need your friend. And you want your friend to be there for you. When Susan passed away, or when she was very, very ill and very near death, and I realized she wasn't going to make it, she was going home to heaven, I began to think about, what am I going to do with a funeral? I can't preach it myself. I wouldn't make it through it. But who could I get? And then it dawned on me, Morris, my friend. Morris, her friend. And then I began to think, but he's an evangelist. He's traveling all over. He may not be willing to do it. A friend is willing to do whatever it takes to be a blessing to you. Is willing to help you. And that's what Jesus looked at you and said, I realize you're in trouble. And you can't get to heaven by yourself. There's nothing you can do to please my Father. So I'm going to please him for you. So Jesus Christ came to this world, lived the perfect life we could not live, and died for us. And then he looks at everyone in this room and says, I'll be your friend. I'll take you to heaven if you'll ask me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't cost you anything. It's already paid for. It's a gift, the gift of eternal life. Today, look in through your heart. Has there been a time and a place where you've trusted Christ as your Savior and he's become your friend? He's there holding out his hand saying, I'm your friend. I've already paid your debt. Would you receive it? Would you receive my gift? So I called Morris. I said, Morris, you know, my wife went to heaven today and I'm just wondering, would you be willing to do the funeral? He says, I'll do whatever it takes. He said, no problem. I said, I don't know where you are. He said, I don't either. Let me look on my calendar. Of course, the Lord had everything worked out because the Lord was my friend. And so he had Morris in Pennsylvania, 2 hours away, where he could have been in California or he could have been in Alaska or he could have been in Phoenix. But he was 2 hours away, so both he and his wife could come. And did you know, by the way, I think I've told you, but the pastor that he was preaching for, the funeral, the day of the funeral, the pastor looked at him before he got there to the church and said, by the way, on that day, that Tuesday, you're not going to have anything to do with the church. I'm just giving you the day off. And Morris said, that's of the Lord. You know, my friend in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, was watching out for me. Not only did he provide the gift of eternal life. Now, I want you to understand this. Everybody in this room needs a friend. The Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, that man's a friend of sinners. Zacchaeus, tax collector. Everybody hated him. He's a little short Jew. And he heard about this great Jesus. He said, I want to see him. So he goes and climbs up a sycamore tree and gets up there. And Jesus walks by and looks up and says, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. In essence, he's saying, I want us to be friends today. I want to be a friend to you. Would you come down? I want to go to your house today. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says, received him joyfully. Do you mean, if you read the passage or heard him read it, he says, today salvation has come to this home. I've come to save you today. The first step of friendship with Jesus Christ is being saved. And everybody in this room, you cannot be the friend of the Lord unless you know him as Savior. Unless you've trusted him and trusted his free gift, what he's done for you. Now, Jesus loves everybody in this room. The Bible says very clearly, he loved us. He loves people. You're his friend. He wants you to be his friend. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, he said. And so he's chosen everybody in the room and says, I want you to be my friend. Now, there's something to that. We've got to receive his gift so we can go to heaven and be with him forever. Do you realize 70 years, 70, and our life is over, and we have eternity with him in heaven. 70 years, eternity, it'd be like a dot right here compared to the line all the way across there. That's not even the first second of eternity. If we were to draw a line from that wall to that wall and put a dot right here, and you say, well, that's 70 years, it's nothing in eternity. And yet we invest our whole life in that dot. We invest our whole life in that dot and forget that there's a friend in heaven that loves us and wants to be a blessing to us and wants to be close to us and wants to walk with us. And you say, why, Pastor? I can tell you, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know why Jesus wants to be your friend or mine, but I know he does. And I've been able to introduce a lot of people to my friend Jesus Christ. And they have received him. Now, I want you to notice the first thing about being friends with Jesus is this. He said, you are my friends if you do what I've asked. The first thing he asked, will you trust me as your Savior? Will you trust me? I want to be your friend. Will you trust me? So you've got to trust him with your sin. And he'll wipe away your sin and give you a home in heaven. Are you the friend of Jesus in salvation? There's the first step. If you've never received Christ as Savior, you cannot be his friend because you're rejecting the payment that he's made for you. How many of you have ever had somebody make something for you and because you didn't receive it, it kind of hurt their feelings? Somebody make a meal for you. Or I prepared this for you. Now, I'm going to go this week to our missionary and I'm going to sit down and I know what's going to happen. They prepare foods of all kind from their country. I mean, one day they had me over to their house and said, "Pastor, we'd like you to come over. We'd like to fix dinner for you." Well, I went in, and Susan, I went in, and we sat down, and the kids sat over here. And the wife was up, and she put down the food, and the children had to watch while he put it on our plate first. I said, "Hey, you don't have to do that." "Oh, you're our friend." And he kept putting it on. "I said, that's enough." And he kept putting it on. I got it. And said, now this is just the first round. And boy, they filled up my plate. And my wife and I, we'd eat a little bit and eat a little bit more. And pretty soon he said, "Well, you like dessert?" And boy, my wife, and they brought out desserts of all kinds. And the kids' eyes light up. They don't normally get that. Our friend is here. And so they're putting, well, you know what would have happened if I said, "I'm not really hungry. I don't want that." So I'm going over to his country, and I'm really fearful I may come back 20 pounds heavier. Because when I go over there, he's always going to say, "Did you know?" And another missionary said, "Pastor, do you realize all the money they've spent for you coming?" I said, "Why? You're his friend. That's what they do in that country." I said, "But he didn't have to do that. Pastor, I am sure he spent $1,000. "Oh, what? Food. Fun for you. You're his friend." I said, "So I'm going over there. I'll say, I don't want to go see that. I don't want to eat that." Do you know what that would do? Cause great hurt. Jesus died on the cross. "Father, it's finished. Their debt is paid." He turns to me and says, "Dave Pittman, would you like to have the gift of eternal life?" Now, I don't want that. There's a lot of people that do that very thing. "I'm busy. I got my own life. I don't need Jesus." No. Jesus said, "I laid down my life for my friends." He's chosen you to be his friend. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Now, I'm not Calvinistic. I know that we have to choose him back. So he looks at us and he says, "Will you choose me? Will you receive me?" Nicodemus, I mean, in this passage, the little Jew gets up and Zacchaeus, and he says, "I'm coming down. I want you to come to my house." And he received him joyfully. Will you receive Jesus joyfully today? His gift of eternal life. Now, that's the first step of salvation. Okay? We become brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's another part to this. Being friends means that he wants to help us through difficult times. A friend always is watching out for their friend. You recall, he knows all about us. He knows about our hurts and our pains. He wants you to come to him when you carry a load. When you are burdened down, I remember the story of the storm and Jesus is asleep on a pillow. And I would remind you of this, Jesus is never worried. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ is never worried. He's never fretful. So the closer you and I get to him, we can rely upon his strength, and we begin to worry less and to fret less. Well, his disciples were looking at the storm. That's what we do. We look at all the troubles of life and all the difficulties of life, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and the boat's filling up with water. Now, to me, that's normal to be fearful if the boat's filling up with water, but Jesus is asleep on a pillow, and he said when he woke up, they woke him up and said, "Wake up, don't you care that we perish?" You have to understand, you're the friend of Jesus if you trusted him as Savior, and he always will care for you. You are never alone. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. I'd like to read you that verse. Listen very carefully. Listen to this verse, a great verse, and I want you to understand. You might want to underline it in your Bible later. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. So if you're going to be a friend of Jesus, you've got to befriend him too. You've got to respond a little bit. But notice he says this, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, I have one brother, but I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. And you and I, he wants us to bring to him our burdens and our cares. Well, in that ship, the storm is raging. The people, the sailors are looking at the storm. They're seeing the ship fill up. And they go to Jesus and say, "Wake up, Jesus. Don't you care that we're about to drown?" And Jesus stands up, yawned. Peace to the wind. Be still. And a great calm happens. And he looks at him and he says, "Where's your faith?" Do you understand? Jesus is never worried. We are worried when we don't get close to Jesus Christ. Now, if I'd have been in that boat, I would have liked to have thought when Jesus was sleeping, I'd have been sitting right there with him. And I'd be hanging right there close to him so that he knows if he goes down, I'm going down. You know, I got this mutt that my wife left me. Her name is Charity. And so everywhere I go, she goes. It's annoying like you can't believe. I mean, all the grandkids are upstairs. If I shut the door, go downstairs, guess what she does? Woof, woof, on that door, jumping up and down. Yesterday I heard it jumping up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And I said, maybe she'll get tired. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I'm sure she's going to get worn out, up and down. Pretty soon I hear the door open up. One of the grandkids got tired of her not wearing down. And so they opened up. And here I hear this coming down the steps. She comes running and she turns that corner, skidding around the corner. She sees me and comes running up and jumps up on me. And I'm sitting here in bed and I'm watching a football game. And she comes and up and jumps up and down the bed because she can't get on the bed. Would you quit? I want to be your friend. I don't want to be your friend. And finally I get her and put up. You know what she does? This morning, she got right up. Lay down right there. Now, the Lord Jesus wants to be your friend. Now, you can take him and say, "Get away from me." But if you've got any kind of a heart and you realize how much he loves you, you can't do that. Now, that dog, the difference between Jesus and that dog is that dog can help do nothing. She can't even feed herself. She can just be an annoyance. But Jesus, he can stop the wind and the waves. He can love you. He can provide for you. We were looking this morning at Peter when he went out and said, "I'm going fishing." He comes back up and Jesus gives him 153 fish in his net. He didn't ask for. He provided for him. He had food there on the beach already prepared, food and bread. And everything is prepared. And he prepared for his spiritual future. And all of a sudden, Peter comes up. He doesn't realize all that God has done for him. And today, do you understand all that God has done for you? And he says, "When you carry a burden, come to me. I care about you." Jesus is the friend of sinners, and we're all sinners. He's the friend in salvation. He's the friend in trouble. And so when you and I have trouble that we cannot take care of, like the disciples did about the storm, you've got to learn to go to him, or you're going to worry and you're going to fret and you're going to always be miserable in certain times of your life. "Well, what am I going to do about a job?" Do you know the Lord Jesus is not worried about your job? He's not worried about your marriage. He knows how to fix it. It may require you, and it will require you, to obey him. And most marriages are fixed when a wife and husband love each other. And Jesus said, "Husbands, love your wives," period. Like I love the church. You know that kind of love? He gave himself. He died for that kind of love. So when a husband loves his wife like that, it takes care of things. And a wife loves her husband as the older women are teaching young women to love their husbands. So the older you are and the more longer you've been married, the more of a testimony you should have. So you can look at the younger ladies and say, "You ought to love your husband with all your heart." I tell you this. That was Susan. Preaching on Jesus as the friend of sinners, I think of her being my friend. And how close we were and how much she meant to me. So when the Lord Jesus took her to heaven, he had to step in and take that place where she had, or I'd have been in trouble. But you know what he promises? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you lose your best friend, I'll become your best friend. Now, I want you to know this. I felt like Jesus was my great friend. And in this life, I felt like I trusted him and counted on him when times came. I felt like I trusted in him. But why tell you what? Since Susan went to heaven, it's like Jesus has become even sweeter because he's everything. Now, today, when you and your mate or you and your children or you and your job or there is a difficulty with you and your health and you begin to look at things and say, oh, no, remember, Jesus said, I have chosen you to be my friend. I'll help you. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Even when the old devil gets after you, Jesus says, not that much. No, you can't tempt him that much. No, you can't do this. The Lord Jesus is out there hovering, protecting you. Do you understand you have a friend that you may not be befriending yourself, but he's your friend. He's coming after you. I picture the Lord Jesus loving me even when I don't love him, because that's what he said. A man lay down his life for his friends. And you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I notice another thing here about a friend. Number one, you have to choose him in salvation. Number two, you've got to choose him in trouble. You've got to say to the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm in trouble. I don't know how to solve this. The Lord Jesus says, I've got the answer and I'll step in. And yet you and I say, well, how are you going to do that? I am certain the disciples, when they looked at Jesus, he's asleep on the pillow and the storm is raging. They had no idea that he was going to step up and say, peace, be still. And everything's going to be a calm. They said, what kind of a man is this? I think there's people in this room that you're carrying a load and a weight and trouble and you have no answer. And unless you get close to the Lord Jesus and become his friend and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. I know the kind of language you want me to have. I know the kind of thoughts you want me to have. I know the kind of attitude you want me to have. And Lord Jesus, I want to befriend you. I want to respond. Will you help me? Do you realize you are encouraging the great God of heaven that has no other plans in this life but to befriend you and to walk with you? The last thing is about a friend. He'll help us through trouble. But why did he make us? He made us so we can walk together. My probably favorite thing to do in this life is to go outside my house about 8:30, dusky dark, and to walk my road and just talk with the Lord. I think that might be my favorite thing in the world to do. To get up early in the morning and just talk with the Lord. It's like he just surrounds me with his care, and I don't know why. Why would he love me? But I can tell you this, I want to walk with him. So what that means is there's a requirement for me. I've got to sort of forsake all the other directions that I know he wouldn't be pleased with, because I want him to be my friend. Now, I know the Lord Jesus is not going to have a foul mouth, so I got to get rid of that. I know the Lord Jesus is not going to have the wrong thoughts, so I got to get rid of that, or I can't walk with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3 says, two people can't walk together unless they be agreed. So if you're going to walk with Jesus Christ of what he made you to do, you're going to have to choose his direction. Lord Jesus, I'll choose your direction. I want to do the right thing. So that means there can be no more getting up on the wrong side of the bed and tolerating it. You have to say, Lord, I've had a bad start this morning. Will you forgive me? Help me have the right attitude. There are so many people in this life that are miserable because they don't walk with the person who made them. And that's the reason we exist. You might say, well, Pastor, I've got a purpose. I want to build up my 401k and I want to retire and travel the world. That's not what God made you to do. That may be what you're going to do. And that may be what he says, look, let's do it together. But you choose a direction of your own aside from Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it will not fulfill the longing of your soul. The Lord Jesus made every one of us in this room, every one of us, to walk with Him because He chose you to be His friend. Question is, will you do it? Everybody in this room, you're going to have to choose to walk with the Lord. And you say, how do I walk with the Lord? Well, in the mornings, in the evenings, you take a little time and you talk with Him. You share with Him the burdens of your heart. Dr. Shetler preached a tremendous message on the type of prayer that we need to have. It's a desperate prayer. It's a prayer of determination. We don't pray like that much. I think the reason Jesus stopped the wind and the sea was because they prayed with importunity. Because they had to have an answer right then. And I think when you and I come to the Lord Jesus with an importunity prayer, God will always hear it. A prayer of desperation, a prayer, Lord, I need You. The problem is we try to handle it ourselves. And we get burdened down and get weighted. And then we start focusing upon ourselves and we stop walking with Him. Everybody in this room, God made you to walk with Him. Are you walking with Him? Back in the 1800s, there was a man named Joseph Scriven. He came from a family of wealth. And yet he got burdened for people. One day he was walking with his saw and a sawhorse, and a gentleman's son said, I'm going to pay him to cut wood for me. And one of Joseph's friends looked at him and says, you can't pay him. You have too much money. He said, what do you mean? He said, he only cuts wood for people that can't pay him back. A man of sacrifice, had a college degree, an intelligent man, a man of wealth, but he spent it on people. Well, he loved walking with the Lord. You know, sometimes we all go through deep waters. I wonder if God allowed Joseph Scriven to go through the difficulties that he did so that he would leave us something. He was, at 25 years old, finally fell in love. The day before his wedding, his fiancée was riding her horse across the bridge on the Fan River, fell overboard, off the horse, and drowned in the river. Crushed him. Weeks, months, and years. He was living in Canada. He met another young lady, fell in love again. She developed pneumonia before they could be married. He lived to be almost 70 years old. On his deathbed, he wrote a little poem to his mother. He said, Mom, I want to encourage you. I don't want you to ever be alone. Mom, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Mom, I don't want you to trust in our wealth. Mom, I want you to know what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged from a man that lost two fiancés. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus is the friend of sinners. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Have you taken advantage of your friendship? and learn to walk with Him. It's a choice this morning. But Jesus has chosen you. Will you choose Him? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. This morning, maybe you're one that's carrying a great load. You've never received Christ as your Savior. You've never asked Him to wash away your sin. Take His payment on the cross of Calvary and forgive you of your sins. You're still carrying the load of sin. Jesus said, I want to be your friend. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Maybe you're here today and you're carrying a weight. I want to take just a minute. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not going to call your name, but would you pray for me? I've got a weight in my heart. I've got a pain in my heart. I've got a hurt in my heart. I've got a burden that I'm carrying. Would you pray with me that I could befriend Jesus and that I could get Him to help me carry this load? Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand all over the building? I want to see the hands. I'm carrying a weight today. I've got a weight. Yes, that's right. Yes, 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 yes. Could I encourage you to come forward, Jesus, today? Realize that He's chosen you to be His friend. He loves you. Maybe today you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't walk with Him much. I haven't changed my life to be close to Him. But I'm thinking about it. I want to choose Him as my friend. I've got some things I may have to give up or change, alter. But I'm thinking about making Jesus my friend. I want to walk with Him. I want to encourage you to come to this altar this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I want to change the direction. I want to walk with You. You're carrying too much. Bring it to Lord Jesus in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Joseph Scriven never intended for those words to be published. But a friend of his on his deathbed found this poem and said, that's one of the greatest poems I've ever read in my life. And it got published. It is one of the favorite songs of millions around this world. What a friend we have in Jesus. Is it a fact in your life? We're going to stand to sing in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized. I encourage you to come. Let's help you take care of it. Maybe you're here today, you've been saved and baptized. You'd like to be a part of our church. You'd like to join our church. I encourage you to step out, come to the front. We'll be glad to have you. Maybe you're here today and you're just carrying a weight. Could I urge you, step out of your seat. You have a friend in Jesus today. And maybe you didn't realize it before you came today. But the Lord Jesus loves you. He's fond of you. And He wants to walk with you. Will you walk with Him? He won't force it, but He does love you. And He longs for you to walk with Him. Lord Jesus, would You speak to our hearts today? Lord, add the people to our church that You want. Lord, I pray that You'd help the people to be baptized that You want. Lord, I pray that You'd help people to unburden themselves at Your feet. Lord, I pray that You'd give people the courage to come and talk with You, for You love them. You're their friend. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.